This is that. I'll wait on you. Right? This is, you say, what? I'm going to explain what that is. Just hang with me a minute. We want to welcome our campuses that are joining with us today. It has been an exciting day at Love and Truth campuses. Already heard in the first service, South had five they baptized. We baptized five at North. I haven't heard from some of the other ones. We just baptized 21 more. I know there's a bunch more getting baptized at the other campuses. So it has been a great day for Maiden Youth Sunday right here at Love and Truth Church. And so we're excited at every campus of what's taking place today. I want to welcome all of you. My name is Eddie Couples, and I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and it is exciting to see what God is doing, and we truly are changing lives to change our world. Amen? You believe that today? Take your Bible. Let's make our confession together, or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on, and just hold it up, would you? Let's do this. All those of you in the campuses as well, let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same, never, 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 I will never be the same, in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that today? I believe that with all of my heart today. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Luke, if you would. Luke, the 24th chapter. Now, as you're doing that, let me just set this series up for you because we're talking about this is that. And you say, well, Pastor, I could tell when I said this is that, you guys kind of froze here and you wondered what this is that about. Well, let's kind of go back to the very beginning of the New Testament age when the church is ushered in on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then it says, and there appeared fire that came upon them, and they began to speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, I want to tell you, when that took place, it was better than Steven Spielberg on his best day. Come on. He couldn't touch it. I remember Raiders of the Lost Ark. I remember sitting in a theater. How many of you went and saw Raiders of the Lost Ark 100 years ago in a theater? And I remember when that big old ball started rolling down, I thought it was going to run right over me, right? And then at the end of it, when the Ark of the Covenant and those angels start melting, everybody's... Man, y'all don't get near as excited in movies as I do, I guess. I mean, I was pumped when I left there. Well, I want to tell you, the day of Pentecost was beyond anything. In fact, it was so powerful what was taking place in this upper room that the Bible says that it went throughout the city of Jerusalem, and everybody begins to gather from the four corners of Jerusalem to say, what in the world is going on? And they said, what is happening here? And this is where the Apostle Peter, standing up, preaches a sermon, and here's what he says in the 15th and the 16th verse, because some of them say, well, they're drunk, they're out of their mind. And Paul, the Apostle Peter said, these are not drunk like you think they are. He said, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, we haven't been partying that hard. But he goes on in the next verse there in verse 16, and he says, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, says the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. I decided I'm going to see visions till the day I die. Did you get it? Old men dream dreams. I'm going to see visions. All right, go to the book of Luke, all right? We began last week talking about this is that, and I talked to you last week on the subject there of the process of gaining this is that, of how that we find that Nicodemus came to Jesus, the Bible says, at night, and he said, how do I enter into the kingdom? And Jesus said, well, you got to be born again. He says, huh? What are you talking about? Be born again. And Jesus said, well, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. He said, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And we talked about how that natural birth and spiritual birth parallel one another. In other words, in the natural, we know that when the seed and the egg come together, that conception takes place, life takes place. Well, when I come to Jesus and I say, Lord, I am ready to receive you into my life, in that moment, life happens. Boy, that was a great place for amen. So I'm gonna set it up for you again. You ready? You ready? You ready? In that moment, life begins. Yes. Right, okay, good. Now, when we see that, then we look at the next aspect of natural birth is the water breaking. We talked about how the Apostle Peter said in Acts 2, he said, repent. That's conception. He said, be baptized. That's what we've been doing on Maiden You Sunday today. He said, be baptized, every one of you. It's that identity. When you come through the water, the Bible says we are buried with Christ in baptism to rise, to walk in newness of life. When that happens in that moment, we now are given the authority of the name of Jesus. We now have the rights of the family. They are now brought unto us, and we are able to go forth in the authority of the name of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there, and he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's where I left off last week. So I want to talk to you today about the promise of the Father, okay? Would you look in the book of Luke, the 24th chapter? Let me read you a few verses, beginning in verse 45. It says, then he, speaking of Jesus, opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And then he says, look in verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. See that? What my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Let me read you a couple more verses. Go to the book of Acts, the first chapter, Acts chapter 1, and verse number 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he, again speaking of Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit, right? Now let me read you. Can I read you two more verses? You ready? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Acts chapter 2, verse 39 says this. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift, here it goes again, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now look in verse 39. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now, here's what we've got to understand this morning. The Word of God is quite clear that God has a promise for His children. How many of you are a child of God today? Would you just hold your hand up? Those of you at the campuses as well, that's a lot of us. And if you're not a child, I want to say before you leave today, you're going to have an opportunity to get into the family, okay? You're going to have a right today to leave here as a child of God. But here's what I know. The scripture there says that there is a promise for the children. Okay? And as you begin to look at it, the promise of the Father was that the Holy Spirit would come and do a distinctive work in believers, okay? That it would be something not just the norm, it would be something that is distinctive within the life of the believers. And as we saw there in Acts chapter 2, and we'll spend more time with some of this next week, but in Acts chapter 2, we see on that day, Jesus said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. So they go back, they're hanging out. They don't know what's going to happen. Can you imagine being locked in a room with 120 people for 10 days? Oh, Jesus, come quickly. Right? I mean, think about it. They're in this room. The Bible says for 10 days they're in there, and then all of a sudden there's a sound from heaven. They don't know what's going on. The Holy Spirit comes. It comes into that room, and they now receive the promise that God has. And so I want to show you today about this promise in Scripture and what the Word of God says about the promise. First of all, is that the promise is for everybody. Okay? Remember I just read to you Acts 2:39 there where it says, and the promise is for you, your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, if I'm His child, then the gift of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is mine. And here's what happens. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, you can study this in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. When the Holy Spirit comes, it unites us. The Word of God talks about that we are one body, but we've got different members and all these things that come together there. And the scripture is quite clear that the Holy Spirit unites us together and makes us one. Now, let me say this about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you study Scripture, what you find is that it is subsequent to conversion. Now, what I mean by that is that you come alive. Remember, we talked about this last week. You come alive the moment that you ask Jesus Christ to come to your life. So it's not about salvation. It's about receiving everything that God has for you. Let me ask you a question today. How many of you want everything God has for you? Amen. I would hope that's 100% of us, right? I mean, I want everything that God has. And so if God says, listen, here's what I want to do. I want to bring this to you. I want to bring that to you. I want to bring the other. Well, then I want everything. I've said for years, and I probably shouldn't use this term, but I'm just a spiritual hog. Right? If God's doing it, I want to get down in there in the middle of it and just get all of it He's got. Right? And so when we begin to look at this, we understand that the promise is for everybody. The second thing about the promise, according to Scripture, in fact, let me just read it to you. John chapter 7, verse 37 says this, on the last, the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and in a loud voice, listen to what He says, let anyone who is thirsty come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them. And He goes on, whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, rivers of living water. And then He says, by this He meant the Spirit, right? He meant the Spirit whom those who were listening to Him, who said we will later receive it into our life. Now, here's the second thing you've got to understand. The promise comes to live in you. Man, that was a really good place for amen. I keep setting you guys up. You got to work with me, people. All right? The promise lives inside of us, in our lives. And here's, Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to Me and what? Drink. And I got to thinking about it. I got to looking at that. And I thought, you know what? I want to do some research about why would Jesus use the analogy of water? Now, hang on. Do you know that according to, again, people who study all this stuff, your body is made up of 60% of it about is water, right? That's why you ought to be drinking a lot of water all the time, because your body. But I began to look at this, and here's what I found out about water for the natural body. The first thing is that water sustains us, right? You've got to have, well, guess what? The Holy Spirit sustains us. It keeps us going. It keeps us living in the way that God wants to. The next thing about water is that water flushes the toxins out of your body. Oh, come on. See, when the Holy Spirit, we sing a song around here about fill me up, Lord, fill me up, Lord. Well, the reason we sing that song, the reason we want the Holy Spirit to fill us up is because if I get filled up with the Holy Spirit, come on, it's going to push all the toxins, all the addictions, all the lifestyle problems, all the things that are holding me back from living the way that I want to live. The Holy Spirit just pushes those out through my pores, and all of a sudden, it's, are you ready? It's not I'm trying to do right. I just do right because the Holy Spirit is down inside of me. And so I'm living that way. The next thing is that we found out about water is that water fights sickness in your body. In your natural body, they tell us if you'll start drinking copious amounts of water when you begin to feel a cold or something coming on, and that it literally is a fighter. And think about this. The Holy Spirit comes in to fight for you. Oh, I can't wait till next week. But anyway, It comes into your body to give you that. In fact, it boosts you. I got to read that, and I love this one. And if you don't drink water for any other reason, you ought to drink water for this. They say drinking water is a boost to your brain. Come on, go out and get you some water right now. Right? You know what the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit? It says that when you pray in the Spirit, that your understanding is not, but that your spirit is edified. All of a sudden, you get that boost. And the Bible says you pray mysteries that you don't even understand as you're in that place. And the last thing that water does, and I'll get out of this, is that water is fuel to your muscles. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with fuel for your muscles. He said, you're going to receive power from on high. I mean, I could stop right there, and everybody ought to want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? But we got more, right? The third thing is that the promise sends us to do the will and the purpose of God. The book of John talks about this. John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22 says that, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And here's what the scripture says. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In that moment, Jesus said, in the New Testament, it's the word pneuma. In the Old Testament, it's a correlation to the word where God breathed in the man and man became a living spirit, the scripture says. And so what we understand is that when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit leads us. Let me show you out of scripture. The Bible says that the Apostle Paul goes out and he's being greatly used of God, and he determines that he wants to go to a certain place in Asia. God has directed him all this time, and he's been doing that. And then he gets there, and all of a sudden he says, "I want to go here." And the scripture says, but the Spirit wouldn't let him, right? So when the Spirit comes, let me throw this at you real quickly. When the Spirit comes, then you learn to be led by the Spirit, right? And so Paul can't go there, and he goes to bed at night, and the Bible says that during the night that he has this dream of a man in Macedonia saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And he gets up in the next morning and he says, "We must be supposed to go to Macedonia," and he goes and does what God does. See, here's what happened. In that moment, not only is he led by the Spirit, he is dependent on the Spirit, right? And the third thing is he was submitted to the Spirit. Uh-oh. Right? How many of you know everybody's submitted as long as you don't tell them to do something they don't want to do? Right? "Oh, Pastor, I'm submitted to the church. Oh, Mama, I'm submitted to you. Oh, Daddy, I'll do..." Until you say, "No, you can't go out today. You got to stay home and clean up your room." Right? And yet, if we really want to live in the fullness that God has for us, then we learn to live being submitted, like the Apostle Paul was in this moment. He is submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing that the promise does is that the promise empowers us, okay? The promise brings power into our life. Acts 1 and 8 says, Jesus speaking here, says, "But you will receive power." It's the word dunamis. It's the same place that we get the word dynamite. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Let me ask you a question. I ask this periodically. I haven't asked it in a while. How many of you read this book? Right? No, do you really? I mean, I know you brought it today so you can say, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am." I got that. But do you really, I mean, have you really dug down into it where you understand that the Word of God there is quite clear to us, and it tells us that in this empowering, he says, I'm going to make you witnesses. He goes through this whole thing. And I got to thinking about that. In our society, in America especially, here's what we think witnessing is. Well, let me tell you about the four spiritual laws. Right? And we take somebody through the four, and they're wonderful. Great laws. I love Dr. Bill Bright. But it's wonderful. Or let me lead you down the Roman road. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. And we go, and that's wonderful. But the reason I ask you if you ever read this book was because have you seen how they witness compared to how we witness? Can I talk to you about it? Here's how they witnessed. They went into cities. They healed the sick. They cast out devils. They raised the dead. Freely they received. Freely they give. Amen? You know how we witness? I've got the Word of God. Hallelujah. And my 40-pound Thompson chain Schofield King James version of the Bible says, hello. I don't want to mess your world up, but do you realize that the apostles didn't have the King James version of the Bible? In fact, can I say this to you without just really totally going off the deep end? do you realize that we are more dependent on a book that they didn't have? Come on. The apostles didn't have the Acts of the Apostles to read out of. They didn't have Ephesians to teach out of. They didn't have the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ to talk out of. All they had was, we have been with Jesus, and we saw what he did, and he said, greater things than this shall you do, because I go to the Father. And they said, we just believe what he said, and we believe that he is empowering us, that he is giving us power to live, and he is giving us power to perform the works of Almighty God. You ever read in the scripture where it says that they went into a certain town in the book of Acts, and it says, these are they which have turned the world upside down. What would happen if all of a sudden in this generation, if the church began to live up to the book of Acts and began to believe for the power of God to operate in and through each and every one of us, that if we came up on somebody sick, we didn't just say, I'll drive you to the doctor. We'd say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, rise and walk, let the power of the Holy Spirit minister to you. I know it's radical, I know it's crazy, but I want to tell you, if the church would get back to being the church and determine we're not called to this earth to play political games, to play social games, but we are called to this earth to turn the world upside down for the kingdom of God, we could do something. I shall now teach again. See, we've got to understand what the power of God does in our lives. The fifth thing is found in John, the 14th chapter, in the 26th verse. Here's what it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have ever said to you. Here's what it does, is that the promise teaches us, okay? The promise teaches us, all right? You say, well, what does it teach us? Well, it teaches us fresh truth. Again, listen carefully what Pastor's going to say. I believe the Bible. But I believe that we have, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, I believe we have bound ourselves more to the Word and not enough to the Spirit. Uh-oh. Now listen, you're looking at a guy who believes the Bible from the front all the way through the maps. I believe it's the divine revealed word of God. I have no problem with that. But I also know that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach me. And we're sitting back here saying, well, he's going to explain to me, the 10 toes on Daniel's vision. Come on, people. I'm 57 years old. I don't know how many antichrists I have seen die. No, you didn't hear me. Somebody will write a book, this is going to be the Antichrist, or this is 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 88, or the late great planet, whatever, and every one of those, I have lived long enough to see him come, and I have lived to see him go, and they haven't mattered one iota upon this earth. But if we would allow the Holy Spirit to come, the Bible says that he will declare things to come. Now, we're saying, well, I just wonder when the Lord's going to return. Don't know. Stop worrying about it. Right? Quit. Oh, help me. Come on. Some of you are so, they got this blood moon, and they got, y'all give me so many books. Pastor, you read this. No. You know what Brother So-and-so said? Yes. I got it. But I'm still here, and so are they. And we just came through all the moons we were supposed to had. Y'all all right? Why don't we quit trying to get out of here and start doing what God called us here to do, and that is to change this world. But we only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been surprised at something that happened in your life? Come on. You ever been surprised about anything that happened in your life? Okay? Now, let me say this. How many of you believe that if the Holy Spirit's in you, that He is God? Correct? How many of you believe that nothing catches Him by surprise? What if, just a thought, what if we would inquire of Him before we faced a situation and let Him declare things that are to come so we quit being so surprised by everything that happens? What if we walked in and said, knew that was going to happen, knew that was going to take place, not shook by that? You know, the Bible talks about, the Bible says that there were a men, it's a certain group of men, it said there were men of Issachar who had an understanding of the times. See, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will remind you of the words of Jesus. When you read the Word of God, it gets down inside of you, and in the moment that you need it, God brings it back. If you don't believe that, go read the book of Acts, and you'll see that the scripture says they bring them before the religious councils of the day, and they start just talking to them, these fishermen, these nobodies. And the scripture says that they sent them away, and they said, these are unlearned fishermen. Here's what they're saying. They've never been to seminary. They don't have a theological background. We are the religious leaders of the country, and yet these unlearned fishermen know more about what's going to happen than we know about what's going to happen. Here's why. Because the Bible says they had been with Jesus. If you and I got to quit preaching today. I got to slow down. If you and I would come to that place where we would spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, it would be phenomenal what would happen in the church today. Number six is this about the promise. The promise is a gift. You don't get it because you're good enough. You don't get it because you quit sinning enough. Amen. Come on, listen to me. You know, I've a lot of us have been around certain places where they told us, well, you got to quit sinning. Everybody look at Pastor. I think you ought to quit sinning. So I just state that to you. But the Word of God says if you say you're without sin, liar, liar, pants on fire. Right? Now here's what the Scripture says. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. So I'm never going to get to the place where I got it all together and everything's right. Now I'm striving, I'm going, I'm getting better day by day. God's helping me, but I'm never going to be that place where I'm perfect. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not given because I am perfect. The Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 2 there, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I found out about a gift. A gift is given not because of what I did. Amen. Now here's what we got to understand today. If I want what God has, now let's talk about this for a minute. The Word of God talks about the doctrine of baptisms, plural. Okay? Go study it. The doctrine of baptisms. We know natural baptism. We've been doing that at Love and Truth Campus this morning, okay? We understand that. But what is the other baptism? Well, the Bible talks about that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now let me talk to you. The word baptize means to dip under. All right? Ladies, listen to me. Look at Pastor. When you put your clothes in the washing machine, you are baptizing them. You didn't know you were being so holy, did you? Ladies, when you go to those dishes and put them in the sink, you think you're washing them, you're baptizing them. Amen. I baptize that old lasagna in the name of Jesus. it literally means to go under, to be under the water, okay? Now how many of you know that we can do this in the natural, we can put you under the water, but how many of you know that if you've ever been to a huge waterfall, that you can walk up under the water and it can inundate you from above? The doctrine of baptisms is natural baptism is when we put you under the water. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes from above. Suddenly there's a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Where's it coming from? We don't know. It's from heaven. We don't understand it. What's going on? We're getting ready to get baptized. We don't know how to, we don't even know who T.D. Jakes is, but we better get ready, get ready, get ready. Because something's getting ready to happen. See, if I want to receive a gift, I have to acknowledge the gift giver. And once I've received the gift, I need to show appreciation, right? And the third aspect there is I just need to take what's given to me. There's nothing worse than getting a gift and acting like you don't like it. But I'm going to tell you, when you get the gift that the Father promised, it's not something you want to return. It's something you're going to think, God, I received your gift. Thank you, Lord, I received your gift. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. See, here's what we're going to say. Next week, I'll dig more into it. I'll give you line upon line next week as far as what the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how it operates, all those things. We'll talk real, real defining moments next week. But I just wanted to show you today the promise of the Father. You say, well, how do I receive this? And I want to wrap it up today. How do I receive this promise? Well, first of all, it's by faith. It's again, they had to receive it. They had to have faith in the words of Jesus to go back and wait 10 days. They had to have faith in the household of Cornelius to ask Peter to come preach to them. And again, we'll talk about more of this next week. The second thing that has to happen is to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is that it comes through surrender. Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender my mind, my will, my emotions. I give myself to you. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me till I overflow. And lastly, it comes with demonstration. All right? It comes with, in fact, and we'll talk more about this next week. I don't have time today to do it. But we're going to show you in Scripture how that every place the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens in the book of Acts, that there is demonstration that takes place. Something happens. Something powerful takes place. Now, here's what I want to say to each and every one of you today. And please hear me. Listen to me carefully. All right? Jesus Christ came to this earth to save us. And if you're listening to me today or you're watching at one of our campuses today and you're not saved, here's what I want to say to you. The greatest thing that will ever happen in your life is the moment that you ask Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior. When you say, Lord, I come today and I look at my life and I look at those old things that I've done and I realize today, God, I've got to turn to you. You say, Pastor, if you knew the mess, hey, he's great at taking messes and making them messages. That's what he does. The Apostle Paul lists all these negative things, all these bad, horrible sins he lists. And then he says, and such were some of you. If we took time today at North Campus, I don't know about their other campuses, but if we took time today, we could fill that list, couldn't we? But such were some of us. But now we've been changed. Now we've been washed. Now we've been cleansed. And so I've got to come to that place of saying, Lord, today I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And so if you haven't done that, in just a moment I'm going to give you an opportunity. Every campus is going to give an opportunity to get saved today. And then we follow the Lord in obedience and baptism. Because again, it's like that baby coming through the water and breaking forth into life. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is breath. And not to mess up next week, but breath gives you the ability to communicate. And when you get there, you're moving at another level. And so God is calling us today. Salvation is yours. If you'll only ask him to come into your life and to receive him as your Lord and Savior today. Amen.